CliffCentral.com.
Iskupu, Iskupu, yours ain't banging like mine, oh. Yo, what's up, guys? It's your girl, Gigi LeMaine, and you're tuned into The Unplugged Radio Show on Thursdays right here on Cliff Central from 12 to 1 p.m., baby. Are you ready?
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready, South Africa? What's poppin', man? It is your boy, Vaughn. I'm in studio with Weza, that guy. Thank you for tuning to Unplugged and In Charge. Young people of South Africa, we are back for the shortest hour of the week. You know how it is, man. You know how it is every single week with us, Weza. People feel like they listen to us for 10 minutes, but it's actually 60.
It's called the shortest hour of the week for a reason. This is, of course, one of those really great times. Thank you very much for tuning in. We really appreciate the fact that, you know, you want to be part of this tribe of superstar leaders.
Definitely. And speaking about, you know, superstar leaders and young people specifically, we've got a show packed full of things that young people are interested in, like making money.
Yeah, like wealth, like technology,
innovation,
and being fit as well.
Exactly. So, you know, if those are topics that, you know, tickle your interest, then you guys should stay tuned for the full hour, because we've got some pretty cool guests coming through. And we always want to take it to the next level. So if you guys want to join in on the conversation, you can hit us up on our WhatsApp group at 079-748-2090. That's 079-748-2090. Please tweet us on Twitter, obviously. Where else would you tweet us?
On Twitter, it is at Cliff Central.com.
Yeah, Cliff Central.
And it's also at unplugged_ZA.
And use the hashtag
Unplugged Radio Show.
Yeah, you know what it is. That's where we're willing to answer all your questions, engage with you guys, actually hear what you guys have to say, because, you know, this thing is not really about us standing on a mic and talking and giving you what we think. It's really about what you guys want to know and what you guys think and what you guys feel as the young people of this generation that really needs to take the country and each other to the next level.
Yeah. A little bit of a throw forward. We're going to be chatting to a couple of gentlemen who are going to tell us how to make millions, how to make the real money, the chankuras, in a short little while. In fact, even before that, we also have a gentleman that's actually wearing these really cool goggles, man. I've never seen, I don't want to even call them goggles, I want to call them,
they're like shades,
man. They're like spectacles, but like James Bond style.
I was about
like,
to say,
this is like perfect for spying. If you have a possessive girlfriend, she would love these, because you put them on and you can literally see everything. Let me just not spoil the surprise, okay? Let me just tell you that they are James Bond shades, and you're gonna really love them. And in fact, they are linked to Snapchat as well. And this is something that's gonna absolutely blow your mind. But we're gonna chat to that gentleman a little bit later on.
Yeah,
at the moment,
crazy.
Vaughn, just tell me, man, what's been up in your life, man? What is the highlight of your week?
Yeah, man. So it's been hectic, bro. I think the last couple of days have been a little hectic, man. For myself personally, I don't know. I had a bad experience last week. I was robbed. I was actually at a business meeting. I was discussing some deal we want to do with a company based in Sandton, and I was like literally right outside the business center. It's like I don't want to like put the names out. No, guys, it is safe there. It was just I was unlucky.
Ace.
You know, it's a big business park, and I parked right outside the security. Went up to have a meeting. 30 minutes later, man, security came running up and said, "Yo, someone's just broken into your car." I was like, "What?" Like, first of all, okay, but why are you running up and telling me, like, chase them?
Why don't you chase the people?
You know what I mean? So that was already like, okay.
Was it? Tell me about these security guards. Yeah. Describe them. Were they overweight? Were they?
No, they weren't stomach out, chest in guys. They were actually quite okay. You know, like,
I'm thinking
like
maybe they
uncles.
Couldn't chase the guys because they were not fast enough, or what?
You know what,
were
to
they
be honest,
too old? What was the?
I think it's not a physical thing, man. I just think it's like, why would they risk their life for minimum wage? You feel me?
For only 1,500 per week.
Exactly. I've got to get home, yo, bro. You know what I'm saying? So like at the same time, I don't really blame them. I do understand to a degree. But anyway, I was robbed. They pulled up apparently in a Ford Cougar. So, you know, everyone driving Fords and cars that have these, have the lock that's on the driver's side only.
Yeah.
You know, even though you got central locking, these guys know how to bust it. So be careful.
You drive a Ford Cougar.
I drive a Ford EcoSport.
Okay,
so
I almost thought the
same. I'm not on fire. But they pulled up in a Ford Cougar, and they jumped out and they hit the lock with a screwdriver or something.
Yeah.
And it popped, and they went to my boot. They took everything: my Mac, my headphones, my memory, my work stuff. Like, it's literally they took my life in a bag. You know what I'm saying? So very, very like shitty experience. But I mean, I've been recovering from it. I've sorted myself out. Yeah. I made it work. You know, like we got to do. Got to keep it moving. We can't be holding on to these things.
No, that's true, man.
Saying.
That's true. Yeah. Tell me, you had insurance?
I have insurance on the car, so they can fix the damages, but I don't have insurance on my stuff.
So come now, on, I thought insurance is white people things. You don't have insurance?
Yeah, but I'm not always doing white people things.
Hey, you see, in the one area where you were supposed to be white, you decided to be black.
You see, now, so I think I've got to figure out my how to be white more often.
Ace,
you know,
bro.
Maybe we should make that a topic.
Yeah, how to be white.
let's do a how to be white topic. You know what I'm saying? We get like a whole lot of like white housewives.
That's actually not too bad. I think that could be an interesting show. Actually, I went and got home content and out and about insurance. I have this friend that's always insisting, get this, get that. When she found out I don't have medical aid, just like, oh, you don't have medical aid? What you talking about? I was like, yo, calm down. It's like, no, Wizard, you have to have medical aid. I was like, yo, Smalls, our producer Smalls. I was like, yo, Smalls, do you have medical aid? He's like, no. I'm like, you see, nobody got medical aid.
I got medical aid. So forget you, bro. You're on your own there.
That's you being white again.
There you go. So guys, if you guys had any doubts, I am white. I do have medical aid. But yeah, man, tell me about your week. What's your highlight of the week before we jump into our first guest talking about innovation? We've got really cool things lined up, guys. But before we get there, we have to hear what Wes has been up to. Because if you follow him on social media, if you have him on Instagram, you'll probably have an idea of where he's been and what he's been doing. And we all know it's big things. So tell us what's up.
Oh man, thanks. Let me just think. What are some of the cool things? Well, the new casino is opening up pretty soon. The biggest casino in Africa. I'll be the MC of that casino. So I was taking a walk about, checking it out. I'm really excited about it because that's pretty big. Today, this morning, I got at 4 a.m. I got a text message from someone who wanted me to quickly come do a voiceover. And I made myself available. Wow. It turns out that they want a 142 episode voiceover for a TV channel, like a kiddie show on a TV channel. So I was like, what?
Okay, wait,
so I
hold
literally
on, hold
walked
on.
Into...
They want 142 episodes. Did you have to do 142 voiceovers?
I do. No, we're going to do them
as it comes. I was about to say,
that's
not a quick job.
No. So today I only did the promo for the ad and also the first episode.
Nice. So you got 142 gigs lined up for sure now.
Yeah, man. That's a really, really cool
gig.
And I mean, it really just came this morning. You just wake up and then you woke up into money, basically.
And God's blessings just fall on your lap.
So it's pretty cool, man. Yeah. So I guess the week has started on a high.
Nice.
Later on today after the show, I'll be at the Young Leaders. What are they called? Tomorrow's Leaders. It's in Emperor's Palace. I'll be part of the panel discussion there. So I'm looking forward to that type of stuff as well. Yeah. Yeah, man, that's pretty much in a nutshell.
That sounds really great. You had a much better week than I had last week. But at the same time, though, I'm not saying my week was down and doubts. There were some pretty good things. I'm working on some big campaigns for a client that's coming together.
Fantastic.
And you know, being able to express ourselves in business is what we're doing every week. So that's some positive news. It's not a Debbie Downer, guys. It's just that, you know, when bad things happen, keep moving. Don't let these things hold you back.
Keep
you know,
moving.
Thieves
well
will be
done,
thieves.
Vaughn.
Yeah, thieves will be thieves. You gotta don't be defeated. Don't let them beat you.
Don't let them beat you.
You feel me?
Bounce, don't break.
You know what I'm saying? All right, guys. So we're going to get into our first guest. We are pretty excited to talk to Mick Mann from Man Made Media.
Yeah.
He's here to speak to us about innovation and something called the Global Impact Challenge, which sounds really interesting. And we'd like to hear more about it. What's happening, Mick?
How you doing, guys?
Good, man. Can you hear yourself?
Fantastic.
Okay.
You want to put your earphones on?
I'm going to take a picture of Mick just so you can see how cool he looks. In fact, he looks a little something like James. No, not. I was almost saying James Bond.
James Dean. The
shades look like James Bond.
Yeah.
He's like a mixture of James Dean and AKA. And now the shades are on. Like this is a stunt AKA would do like all the time.
This is cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, Mick's wearing some really cool shades. You guys should check them out on Twitter. Where's all tweets at?
Not only on Twitter. Mick is also on Snapchat at the moment, and he's doing a live broadcast from his shades.
That's
so
really
this
cool.
is pretty cool. So everything Mick can see, you will be able to see if you check it out on Snapchat. Where do they find you on Snapchat, Mick?
You can find me at Zulik01.
Zulik01 is Zulik01's the handle. Go check that out, guys. And if you want to see what Weza and I look like, then you can go and do that.
Through James Bond glasses,
through
of course.
Through James Bond glasses.
Yeah.
All right, cool, Mick. So thanks for joining us, man. We're really excited to speak about innovation. It's something that actually this whole place was built off of, you know, just trying to find new ways of doing things and new ways of connecting people and getting across information. So, you know, give us a little intro into what it is you do and where it is you're from so that people can have some context.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Mick Mann, and I'm always been a bit of a techie and a bit of a science freak.
Okay.
And, you know, I came across this website for this company in Silicon Valley called Singularity University a couple of years ago. And these guys, this guy Ray Kurzweil, who's one of the greatest inventors and predictors of the future of our time, came up with this theory that in 2029, based on the way computing is going and the way computer power is growing, we will have reverse engineered the human brain. And when the computer then becomes as smart as a human brain, and by 2045, we will have reverse engineered the entire human race. Then the computer becomes as smart as the entire 9 or 10 billion people. And there's going to be a singularity. There's going to be a shift in the way humanity works, because we're going to merge with the machine in some way. And
that is,
he started this university so we could get ahead of all these exponential trends in these technologies like 3D printing, robotics, AR, nanotech, biotech, so we could get ahead of these exponential technologies so that we could thrive and survive as a race and not get taken over by some big machine
that,
like
we created,
that we created.
That
we created, exactly.
That's the part that, like, that blows my mind, to think that, you know, we might be the reason for our own sort of extinction, in a sense. Like, a lot of people might not be able to attend this singular university. You know, what happens to the layman when something like that happens, when a brain is re-engineered into a computer and they become as smart as us?
So we don't know yet. So that's why the whole thinking of singularity is, you know, learn about these technologies that have advanced so quickly over the last, like, 10 to 15 years that are changing our lives at such a rapid pace, like robotics. You know, robots are going to be, you know, a very, very influential in our workplace.
Yeah.
And they're going to be doing a lot of the tasks that normal humans could do. But they're going to do the tasks much better than us. So it's going to give us a lot more time to do other things. And and you'll see a lot of jobs that are being lost, but you're going to see a lot, creation of a lot of new jobs.
Sure.
So the Singularity University guys are real positive people, and they believe in the future, and they believe in technology as an enabler. Like, you know, we all get scared of technology, but if you think about it, your phone, you don't think that your phone is cleverer than you, but it actually is. Because if you've got a question, you go straight to Google using your phone, and that enables you to get answers. Mm. You don't think when you get in your car is much more powerful and much faster than you. But as soon as you drive, you know, it enables you to do more, go further, visit new places. So the technology is always enabling us to do more as a species, as humans.
Mm.
And we need to embrace it and you know, and look at these technologies. And, you know, so for Singularity University, they've gone and they've expanded around the globe now. Then, you know, over 60 countries around the world.
Okay.
And we're heading up the Singularity University Johannesburg chapter and the Cape Town chapter.
Awesome.
And we've got a couple of initiatives coming, like the Global Impact Challenge.
Yeah, that leads us into the Global Impact Challenge. So look, guys, I know that a lot of young people listening to this right now, or if you listen to the podcast, you guys will be a little scared, because you know, especially guys, I imagine being born in the millennial space, because you're kind of like, we come from like two different worlds almost. Like, we grew, a lot of our childhood was like technology-less. Like in the 90s, we had like a cell phone, you know, and a snake. And then, like, when we turned 18, we got Facebook. And now it's like, within 5 to 7 years, we find ourselves in a space where, in the next couple of years,
the rate of innovation,
you know,
is just accelerating, because there's this exponential growth that's going on.
Yeah.
So they talk about linear versus exponential thinking. And if you think in a linear way, if you take 30 linear steps, you're going to get from 1 to 30.
Yes.
You're going from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm.
But if you take 30 exponential steps, where an exponential step doubles on it with each step,
you fast track.
By 30 steps, you're already a billion times around the world, and you've you know, exponentially grown. And it's like that hockey stick. So we've seen these businesses, because that leverage exponential technologies and trends, they grow like this.
Yeah.
So Facebook didn't just grow in a normal way.
It shot up.
Yeah.
And then everything followed it.
Google shot up.
Exactly.
Slack.
That's exactly why I'm saying it might be a little intimidating if you listen to this, but don't worry. There is going to be a solution. There's not a problem. That's why Mick's here. Mick's going to talk us through exactly what it is we can do, or what it is we can be a part of, to actually survive during this period that is probably inevitable. Like, we should accept that, you know, technology will rapidly increase, and we will need need to adapt our lives or, you know, find ways to survive within it. And that's sort of what the Global Media Challenge is about, right? It's encouraging people to be innovative.
So Singularity University, our mission globally and then as a local chapter is to educate, empower and inspire leaders like you guys, leaders like scientists, young startups, entrepreneurs, guys that want to make a change to learn about exponential technologies and use these exponential technologies to solve the world's grand challenges. The world's got these major problems that we call grand challenges where they affect more than a billion people or hundreds of millions of people, like poverty, like education, like disaster resilience. And, you know, how do we use this tech to help fix the world, help impact a billion people's lives? So the Global Impact Challenge is a unique opportunity for any that runs in over 60 countries around the world now. It's busy running. And what we do is we send at least one person from each country to Singularity for the 10-week GSP program, which is like winning a ticket to Harvard. Because it's harder to get into the GSP than to Harvard.
Sure.
So you know, as a South African, you can win this. If you have an idea that's going to impact a billion people's lives, you enter the Global Impact Challenge. I'll tell you where you can go online. And we're having a judging. There'll be judging. The competition closes on the 18th of April. Then there'll be a 2 or 3 weeks of judging. And we have a finalist event where the top 10 who came up with the best ideas get picked. And we have a final judging event where we send one person to Singularity University in June.
That
for
is
10
insane.
Weeks.
That is insane.
And their life has changed after that.
I can imagine. I can imagine. And what I like about this is that, you know, the criteria that you selecting these individuals on is based on the idea.
How big can you think?
Exactly. It's not really about like what they've done.
You don't have to have the solution.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Very nice.
You have to have the ideas. You have to have a new mindset, a way of thinking differently to everyone else.
And it must be technologically inclined, though.
It must be technological inclined.
I want to enter already.
You both must enter right now after this. I'll show you where.
Fantastic.
Definitely.
But if you have an idea, it has to be using one of the exponential technologies like biotech or crowdsourcing or artificial intelligence or computing.
Or virtual reality.
VR.
Yeah, that's me.
And this year's Global Climate, this year's Global Impact Challenge is focused around climate change. And how do we solve that grand challenge of climate change? However, we are taking any big ideas because we believe that South Africans have very unique big ideas that aren't being shared with the global stage.
Yeah.
And by doing this, we are putting ourselves on the map as South Africa because we're in a critical junction. If we don't innovate and be part of this new wave of technology, in the next 10 years, we're going to be left behind. You've already seen it. Certain countries are innovation countries. The USA, Silicon Valley, Israel, the UK. You know, you're seeing these amazing innovations hubs where all the latest and greatest tech is coming out of. And as South Africa, we need to start jumping on this. We need to get on board.
Yeah.
A quick question there, Mick. I think when we say how big can we think, it might come across a little open-ended. So, which is fine too, I guess. I mean, thoughts and ideas should be open-ended. But in terms of the actual structuring of the submission of your idea, should you have the material you might need, the software that is available?
No.
Do you need any other, or do you have like a problem and a solution?
So if you actually look, there's a very simple form you need to fill out on the website, on the Singularity U Global Impact Challenge Southern Africa website. And it takes about 30 minutes to fill in that form. Mm-hmm. And you need to make a little video about yourself to say, you know, why you think you should win and why you should go to Silicon Valley, to Singularity University. It probably takes you about 30 to 40 minutes to put your submission in. But it's really about the idea. You don't have to have the answer and you don't have to have every detail. But the more you have, obviously, the better the chance of winning.
Yeah.
So like, just fantastic. To give you an example, some previous Singularity University companies that have really exploded. Mm-hmm. There's one company called Made in Space. Where they were Singularity students. They went to the Global Solutions program, the 10-week program, and at the end they came out of this company called Made in Space. And what they do is they've made 3D printers that can print in space. So it can print a 3 at zero gravity.
Jeez.
And it took them about 3 to 4 years to build their first printer. And then they sent it up in the space station. And the first thing they printed, what do you think was the first thing they printed?
A helmet.
Close, but not
what did
love they print?
They actually printed a part of the 3D printer that would make the next 3D printer. So they're making 3D printers that can print themselves. So our way of exploring space and habitating the moon is going to be printers that will go before we get there,
yeah.
print us our habitats, and then we'll arrive safely. And
print a bed for you.
And currently, yeah, they'll print your beds, they'll print your whole house.
That's insane.
Currently
yeah.
Made in Space is making, you know, a lot of the materials for NASA. Mm-hmm. So now, instead of NASA spending all that money sending up spoons, stuff, yeah. wrenches, yeah. parts, you know, tools, they've got they use the Made in Space guys, and they make it in space, and then they just, you know, ship it to parts of the space station.
Wow, imagine, like, the, you know, there's tags that say Made in China, so yeah, like Made in Space.
Made in Space, yeah.
That's out of this world.
Yeah.
What I'm just thinking now is that, you know, this sounds like something that might need to be vetted quite extensively, because I think that... you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's an element of realisticness that needs to be applied to your idea. You can think big, but you need to think big within maybe perhaps the context of where your country's at, or perhaps is it good to look at solving a South African problem before solving a international problem, seeing as though you are South African? Would that still come across as something that is viable? If I give you an idea for South Africa, might not be applicable to the States. Would it make sense?
Absolutely. So I mean, as long as the idea has a unique, innovative approach. Mm. The idea has the goal of impacting 1 billion people within 10 years.
Okay.
So it could start off locally, and then it could expand and scale. Mm. Like you've seen a lot of these other companies, they always start in a very small place and they yeah. scale. So I think that is a good approach.
Okay.
And you can definitely use that when entering. But you need to have really big thinking.
Mm.
You know, this is for people that want to change the world.
Nice.
You're not thinking on a small scale.
Yeah,
change the world, baby.
It's pretty cool.
That's really cool. I think this is something. Young people that are listening, or young people that we speak to often. Mm. What is like the one thing that we all have in common is like they want to really bring a change.
Yeah,
you know?
These people are unplugged and in charge.
Exactly, and you know,
of
you know,
changing the world.
absolutely, and our technology is kind of giving us the opportunity to fast track the possibility of that happening. You know, which to me is extremely exciting.
That is pretty cool. Mick, I'm sure you live in the future in your own mind. Describe for me, how does 10 years from now look like? Considering the fact that not too long ago, we didn't even have computers or cell phones, or, you know, what does the next 10 years look like? What does 2027 look like?
So 2027 is going to be very close to Ray's prediction of reverse engineering the human brain. Mm. He actually thinks that by 2027 we'll be close to living forever. Firstly, as humans, because if you look at you know, the way biotech's going, the way genome sequencing is going, they say by 2029 we will be gaining a year on year with our lifespan. So, you know, on your average life expectancy, you're gaining a year on year every year from 2029. So we'll be looking at like a very different society. We'll be looking at a society that will have designer babies. We will be having robots doing a lot of the work for us. We'll have AI in place. You'll have artificial intelligence on boards of big companies. You'll have AI that will be work predicting, you know, defaults on loans for properties or retail. You'll have a very, very different way we're living. I mean, our kids of tomorrow in 10 years are going to grow up. They're never going to have to write. They're never going to, you know, we're creating these super intelligences that are helping us, enable us as humans to do a lot of other great things. And, you know, it's very hard. I believe we'll be off the planet. There'll be a lot of humans that will have left the planet already. I mean, already this year, there's another ex-singularity company that is going to the moon. So they're sending a spaceship to the moon this year.
Unbelievable. I mean, look. Sorry to jump in there, but there's three things I heard there that I saw. Weza's face is just like, what are you saying? Because there's three things that I want to jump on. I think that everyone listening would like to know. That's sort of the immediate thought that I had in my mind is. Talk about those designer babies quickly. Just tell us what that means.
So what's really exciting about this, okay, so there's been a new technology called CRISPR-Cas9 that's been invented like 2 or 3 years ago. And this is a technology that helps you program genes. Like you would program for applications.
Yeah.
You can now program our DNA as humans. So CRISPR-Cas9 is almost like a film editor where you could splice out DNA you don't want and you can splice in DNA you do want.
That's nuts.
So you can look at like having your baby, you could give it blue eyes, or you can maybe have, you know, X-ray vision. You know, you're going to be able to start designing what you want your children to look like, what abilities you want them to have, and what diseases you want to take away from them.
So it is still using your and your wife's DNA, but you're just taking out all mutations and any defect DNA and replacing it with something more superior than what you have.
Yes, and I mean this is like at the cusp of this exponential disruption now. So it's only been invented like 2 years ago, and you're seeing, you know, all these scientists and these biotech guys coming up with this. We've actually got an event next week as part of the Singularity Chapter on the 5th of April in Cape Town, and on the 6th of April in Johannesburg, where we've got the CEO of Discovery, Ryan Noach, in Cape Town, talking about, you know, the future of health. We've got Kim Hewlett from Next Biosciences talking about stem cell research and where that's all going. We've got Muslim Schlanger, a geneticist, talking about, you know, where the DNA and genes. And we're doing it locally in South Africa with these industry experts.
That is insane, man. And then the quickly, just the other two that I wanted to touch on there, because I think it's quite interesting for young people, is the we're not going to have people that write.
So, I mean, I think writing is a dying art. I mean, you don't have...
Because we're typing now?
We're typing, and you're going to be talking to computers.
And it's going to type itself?
It'll type for itself, yeah. I mean, I haven't used a pen for 5 years.
You know, it's crazy that you say that, because I've been typing for the last, I don't know how many years, too. And the other day, I picked up a pen to take notes, and I realized, first of all, how long it takes me, which annoyed me. And secondly, how... like shocking my handwriting is.
Exactly. It's like you don't take out CDs anymore. Once the technology gets disrupted, it gets disrupted, and a better technology takes over, and we roll with that.
That is insane, guys. You see, guys, we are moving very quickly. The world is changing at an extremely quick pace. We've got a lot. You know, we could have this discussion for the next couple of years and find interesting stuff every single time. Single time we talk.
Yeah.
But in closing, Mick, I kind of just want you to run through this global initiative, how people can get it, where they can get involved, a summary of what they need to do, and kind of just to wrap up what your prediction is in the next couple of years, especially for millennials, and what will be important for them to take away from what you've given us today.
Awesome. Okay, so basically what you need to do is you need to type in Google Singularity U Global Impact Challenge Southern Africa.
Sure.
That will take you to our website, which is on the Singularity Global website. It's su.org/GRC Global Impact Challenge. Mm-hmm. So you should go to that site, and you can enter there on the website, and it takes about 30 to 40 minutes to apply. I really, really recommend it. If you want to change the world, if you want to be a thought leader, if you want to be an innovator, a disruptor, a tinkerer, a maker, go and enter and make a difference. There's a great opportunity. We're only going to have, you know, a couple of hundred entries, so you've got like a very good chance of getting to go to Singularity if you've got a great idea. The other place you can find us is if you go on Facebook and you type in Singularity U Chapters in South Africa. Singularity U Chapters in South Africa, and you can see our Facebook page we've created, a couple of videos we've made about the challenge, and a link to the website to get to the Singularity website.
That is insane, guys. It doesn't sound so difficult. All you guys need to do is stop talking about your ideas at Bri's over a couple of beers and put them in on this form, and you might find yourself at Singular in Silicon Valley. That's crazy.
And sorry, I forgot to mention that the prize is worth over $40,000. So you're winning almost, you know,
half a million.
Over half a million rand.
There's half a million rand up for grabs, guys. There is the chance to change the world up for grabs. There's a chance to change your life up for grabs with the ideas that you think about in your head when you go to bed at night or when you're with your friends at a braai. So, you know, young South Africans, let's take this opportunity. I think it's really great. I'm thinking about doing it myself. I know Weza is. Mm. I've seen him just sitting there hearing what the prize is. Weza's losing.
No, it really is a once in a lifetime.
It really is.
What's happening now is that the top three teams out of the GSP get funded. So you've got a really great chance of, you know, coming up with a concept, forming a team, learning about exponential technologies by the best speakers in the world, by the best experts, and then starting your startup with funding from Google.
That is insane. That really, really sounds exciting. We are excited about the future. You guys should be excited about entering. That's really all we have for today with Mick. But I mean, Mick, we could have this conversation all day, man. Let's stay in touch. Let's really do stay in touch. Let's exchange details with all the right people. Get your people to talk to my people. We can switch friends, make friends, whatever it is, man. but let's make it happen, because I think it's interesting to get a perspective on the future from a technological point of view, especially in this day and age. So that's all we got today for Mick. Thank you for coming through. We really, really do appreciate it. We're going to take a little break. We're going to play a quick song, and we're going to introduce our next guest, because we're going to be talking about wealth creation, and a guy that's pretty famous right now and buzzing on social media made a song about how rich he is. So I think it's quite fitting. We'll chat to you guys in a minute.
Shane Eagle, and you are tuning into the Unplugged Radio Show right here on Cliff Central.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, nafuna hamba kongo. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Raza Law, a.k.a. Mr. Quan, a.k.a. P-L-I-N-T, and you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show, 12 to 1 p.m. every single Thursday on Cliff Central. It's too short, like me.
Thank you very much. This is still the one and only shortest hour of the week. It is Unplugged and In Charge. Thank you very much for listening. We are now joined by a couple of gentlemen who suit up almost as good as I do.
Did you see how they were dancing to Tito Mboweni?
They have to dance like that to Tito Mboweni, because I think Tito Mboweni is the closest thing that they have to conversations with each other. They're always talking about that Tito Mboweni. Yeah.
I'm really, that was a very good introduction with that song.
Thank you very much. Just I appreciate it, bro. Yeah. I appreciate it. That's what I do.
Because there was actually a time before we had Unplugged and In Charge as the radio show, when it was just me, Lesego, and Simpiwe.
Yeah.
And we were still starting up. We called ourselves the Big Bank Boys.
Okay.
So this is very similar to that right here.
Yeah. Now,
this is the Billionaire Diaries.
So it's the Big Bank Boys.
Yeah, the Big Bank Boys.
Can we get a horn for that?
There it is. Yeah, man. Yeah. So we joined by the Billionaire Diaries, guys. Yeah, if you guys have just tuned in, I do feel a little sorry for you, but I'm also it's not the end of the world, because you guys will have the podcast. But we were having a chat to a guy called Mick Mann, who's from Man-Made Media. He's got a cool initiative that he's running that he spoke to us about innovation. Right now, though, we've got the next phase that young people are interested in. Weza, we spoke about
it's
innovation. It's the money,
payback,
bro.
The money.
You know what I'm saying? So we joined by Billionaire Diaries are in the building. Yeah. They're going to talk to us about creating wealth and obviously the preservation of it, especially around young people, which is something that I think is pretty important. Whether you and I have a discussion earlier about, you know, trying to manage wealth and expectation and societal pressures and you know, these
black
things,
tax.
Black tax. And
Vaughn is white, but he still has black tax.
I really do. Talking about that, I got a tweet saying from a guy called Darren Murray, who says, where is this guy? Oh, he's been tweeting us a lot. He says to me, I'm white, I shouldn't be deluded. And then he says, can I get one of those babies designed without the qualities of Vida everything? All right, Darren, I see you, bro. I see you. Take it easy, man. I know that I'm your hero. Anyway, let's get into the discussion about creating wealth, man. We'd like to hear what it is that you guys do, where did you guys are from, and you know, what it is you've done to get here, and what advice do you have for the youth, man? Let's hear how we can get rich, bro. Oh,
yeah. All right. Let me hand over to my partner, Kidzai.
Kidzai, what's happening?
Good afternoon, guys. My name is Kidzai Manyeza. Most people call me Z. I'm originally from Harare in Zimbabwe, and I've been in South Africa for 14 years. I'm currently 21, and I'm the founder of a company called Envy Mirror Investments. Envy Mirror Investments is a young black holdings company, and we happen to have a subsidiary called Billionaire Diaries.
Okay.
So yeah, Billionaire Diaries is a wealth creation, a social entrepreneurship movement. We started it actually 3 weeks ago, founded by my partner here, Isaac Banda. And what Billionaire Diary does, it assists young businessmen and women who are just graduating from university. So you might find that you have a graduate and somebody wants to start a business, or he's got a proposal for a business.
Okay.
So what we do is we assist them in terms of getting them the guidelines of what an investor looks for.
Okay.
Because we have currently ran a couple of projects, but unfortunately we didn't break through with them because we didn't have enough items to, you know, to approach an investor. So we've been given the opportunity to meet and sit down with very top guys like Gaten McKenzie, Patrice Matsepe, and they've actually mentored us.
Now
we're in the position of actually knowing exactly what an investor looks for.
Okay.
So
you've taken the time to educate yourself around that, and now you feel you want to take it to the people. Okay,
exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, you guys could have easily, after getting the knowledge, just start writing proposals and just
exactly,
go
yeah.
at it yourself. But you're saying, yo, guys, this is too valuable to keep. Let's share it.
We need to share it because, yeah. you know what, I generally have a heart of seeing everybody succeed. I want to change like the perception that's going down amongst young black people. We have the syndrome that we're suffering from, pull-down syndrome, PDS, and I think that Billionaire Diaries is the solution to PDS, mm-hmm. whereby at the young age that we are able, I mean, people are able to find us more, like they are able to click with us. And for instance, if Petrus Motsepe was to come to a school and come and give a speech, many young people after that would have forgotten what he has said because he's old, number one, and two, he's probably not current and they don't really click with him that much. Yeah. But when I go to a school and I talk to them and I speak to them about wealth creation, I actually get calls the following day and I get messages throughout the week.
Because you're also more accessible.
Exactly. I'm more accessible as well. So you find that it's not every South African child who can access Petrus Motsepe. Yeah. But I've had the...
I think almost no South African child. Except his own kids.
You know?
Probably even they have to schedule a meeting via email.
Yeah. I hope Petrus Motsepe is not listening to me.
Yo, much love. Yo, I still need your money.
You can still request what we charge. You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
I think, I mean, on the other side as well, the young people speaking to other young people is, first of all, relatable.
It's relatable.
The next thing is, yes, you don't have the billions yet, but they have a chance now to see the book being written. Because it's something totally different. And I think if people just saw it in that way,
in that manner,
and then they would really realize that, hey, man, sometimes you don't know who's in front of you right now.
Exactly.
One day you're going to say, oh my gosh, he was in front of me. I had his number.
I'm
sure he changed his number now. But shucks. You know, and it's only a handful of people who will recognize you for what you are when you still look like coal and you're about to become a diamond.
Mm.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Say what? Yeah.
You know, that takes me back to an example I like using of Thomas Edison.
Mm.
Many people just know the story of him failing 10,000 times to create a light bulb.
Yeah.
But they don't know that actually Thomas Edison, at the age when he was in grade 2, his teacher sent out a letter to his parents and told his mom that, you know what, your child is too dull. You need to find a tutor who can tutor him at home and teach him from home. Because at school, we've tried everything.
Mm.
And really, this kid is just too dull.
Mm.
And what happened is that the mom called Thomas and is like, Thomas, your school says you're too clever.
What?
Very, very clever. Like, actually, you should be in grade 6 and not grade 2. And so we have decided to find you a tutor who will teach you from home.
Hmm.
Wow.
And he grew up believing that he's smart.
But you know what's crazy? They said he was dull and then he invented the light bulb. Go figure
that. But listen to this. Listen to where this is going. He grew up thinking that, oh my goodness, I'm brilliant than anyone else. I was in grade 2, whereas I should have been in grade 6.
That's the belief.
You understand?
Mm.
So it goes back to this principle whereby if I can plant a positive thought in your mind while you're still young, it will grow with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thomas Edison later found the letter when his mom passed away. He went home, and it's actually a museum now, that house. He went home and he found that letter, and he dusted off all the dust. And when he read the letter, he actually found that the letter had said he's dull. You understand? So it was the thought that the mother planted in the son that made him to become where he was, to what we know him as today.
Shout out to Thomas Edison's mother, because now we can see at night.
Exactly. That's really the same principle that Billionaire Diaries is riding with.
Wow.
We go to kids at a very young age, tender age of grade 8, and we tell them, you have the capability of becoming a billionaire at the age of 21.
There's actually something that you made me think of. There's a gentleman who's now part of the board of CSIR.
Mm-hmm.
He also, I think, is the dean, if not somewhere really high up, at WITS. And he used to be a major professor at the University of Pretoria. Really smart guy. Mm. One of the youngest black graduates from South Africa.
Exactly.
He's in chemical engineering.
Mm.
His name is Thokozani Majozi.
Wow.
He's now a major professor. He's got these big awards from international places and whatever. Mm-hmm. But this gentleman was never really a major exceller at school until one day a teacher said to him, a new teacher said to him, hey, how are your maths marks? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, you look smart. Hmm. And he's like, whoa. Then he went home that day and he looked himself in the mirror and said, I look smart.
Yeah.
Oh, I probably have to act smart now. Exactly. And then things started to change from that day forward. Yeah.
For instance, like Weza, you've got a very great voice, and I obviously started the whole of South Africa knows that.
Thank you.
Every person who tells Weza that Weza, you've got a great voice, your mind in your subconscious, it fights with one another to live up to whatever people say you are.
That's true.
For instance, right now you've told me that I'm a coal and I'm working my way into becoming a diamond. What's happening right now in my subconscious, every day I'll wake up thinking that I'm a coal and I'm working my way into becoming a diamond. I'll never lose that thought.
It's amazing, yeah. Fantastic stuff, man.
That sounds really important for our generation. You know, I think we're constantly bombarded with negative thoughts and negative ideas of our economy and our possibility and race and religion and all these things that just seem to be...
Everything that the media reports is just negativity.
Yeah, of course.
There's nothing positive that they... It sells, but then...
Which is
terrible. It taking us? I mean, Thabo Mbeki once asked a question to say if his generation was to be wiped out and the now generation, the millennium of today, was to remain, we would be in a position, are we in a position to take over the country? Mm. And I honestly can say, no, we're not. We don't have the skills and capabilities to run a nation because we've always been suppressed with negativity and all we think about is negativity. No one, like, there's just so much that's being done to push the country forward.
Yeah. And it's really good to see young people are coming together and trying to find the solutions, which I really like about Billionaire Diaries. You know, I think, and I really hope that, you know, the pages of this diary that you guys are starting in concept get filled with names of people that have found success through your engagements with them and through your missions. I really hope that the names fill up and that the book one day is really worth reading through. And I hope that you guys listening to this find yourself in this Billionaire Diary one day and in a couple of years' time, look back on this podcast and look back on the engagements that you have with these gentlemen and you find key moments that change the direction of your life, because I think as young people all we have is each other, you know, white, black, colored, Indian, Chinese in South Africa, all we have is each other. We don't have anything else, and we need to find ourselves in each other.
So quick key question, does Black Diaries does Billionaire Diaries find you, or do you find Billionaire Diaries?
We founded Billionaire Diaries.
No, I'm saying...
Oh, does it find us?
We as the public, do we find you and say, hey, I want to be part of you, or you find us and say, hey, you look like you're good enough to be part of us?
It works in both ways.
Yeah.
Because we do seminars.
Yeah.
We also have trips that we do, and we also go into schools in order to identify the people that we want to be part of Billionaire Diaries.
Nice. Yeah.
And also some people find us. Mm. As well, through our page or
social media.
Where
can they find you?
Yeah. Most people find us on Facebook. Our page is very simple, Billionaire Diaries. Diaries with D-I-A-R-I-E-S, Diaries.
Nice.
And also on our personal accounts as well, Instagram.
What are those? Give us...
Okay, Billionaire Diaries on Instagram as well.
Okay, cool. Billionaire Diaries on Instagram. Billionaire Diaries on Facebook, is where you can get hold of these guys.
Yeah.
If you're looking to find a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of motivation, and some advice on how to create some wealth and how to build a better nation, please hit them up.
Cool stuff. Are billionaires born or are they made? Last question.
I believe that billionaires are made.
Made.
They're made.
Made. All right. You got it. Well, you heard it from the gentlemen themselves. You can make yourself into a billionaire, even if right now you're a centenaire. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. We've got, if you guys are just tuned in, I feel like we've had people running in and out of the studio today. You know what I'm saying? If you guys have just tuned in, or if you're still listening to the podcast, if you're still listening to the podcast by this moment, shout out. We appreciate you, firstly. Secondly, we've got a really cool guest coming in to talk to us about the next most important thing to young people these days, and that is fitness. You know, it doesn't help that you've got great ideas. We spoke about innovation.
Yeah.
It doesn't help you've got great ideas that you talk to your friends about at Bryce and that you could possibly win a competition with now. It doesn't help that you've got a lot of money. and you're not fit and healthy, right?
And then you're dying because you never quite took care of yourself,
you
right?
Cover what I'm
saying. I think
saying.
Today we're really giving you the starter pick to life.
Aye, bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be rich and you, it's not good to be rich and it's not good to be rich and fat, guys.
Looking like those BEE guys.
Ah,
yeah?
Come on, bro. We gotta be rich and healthy because wealth.
Yeah.
Health is wealth, they say. Health is wealth. Mm. So talking about health is wealth, we've got some guys in the building to talk to us about some fitness initiatives that they're doing.
Yeah. This is actually something that as Unplugged and In Charge, we teamed up with some guys.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
And it's a really good movement. It's called Move for Fitness.
Yes.
You can find it on Twitter as the hashtag Move for Fitness, as in like a number 4. And they've also got Twitter handles and Instagram accounts. That's Move for Fitness _SA at the moment. But of course, to talk about this, we got a couple of the people who are the movers and shakers of the entire thing. We got one of the choreographers here, and we also got one of the main founders as well. Donald, let's talk to you first, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, yourself.
Yeah, man, fantastic, fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's really an honor, and I'm very grateful. Thanks.
Cool stuff. Donald, you out here making people dance.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Move for Fitness is about, you know, getting in shape using dance and fitness. Mm. So we incorporate the two to get the best body for everybody.
Now, I remember when we were first coming up with this concept, and I think a lot of people can learn a lot from what we discussed that day. Because you came to me that day saying, hey man, I want to do this movement where people are getting fit. I want to really impact people's lives, and I want people to have fun getting fit.
Yeah.
But at the time, you wanted people to run, right?
Yeah.
You wanted to do a fun run.
Yeah.
And then I said something that's quite profound, because it's found in the script. Scriptures, it's found in motivational tapes and stuff like that, is where your advice is, that's where your wealth is.
True.
So and then I said, let's look at your life, Donald. What would people ask your advice on?
Well, definitely it has to be dance.
Yeah.
People know me as a dancer.
Yeah, you were part of Element of Revelations dance crew, and that's what you guys were doing.
Yeah.
And they were winning awards left, right, and center. These guys have videos out there. You know those guys? Yeah. You know every time you scroll on Facebook and then you see some dude crumping?
I was about to say, like,
he's that guy.
He's also that guy in the club that just makes it difficult to come. Like, we'll go home.
Comes out, destroys the dance.
Yeah, but I think it's really cool that you guys have taken something fun and something engaging like dancing and trying to make a difference with it and use it in a way that actually gets people to start moving around. Because I know a lot of people don't actually like the thought of going to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, they don't like the thought of having to go to the gym and picking up weights and being around people that look at you the whole time. I think the fact that you guys do it through dancing is something that eases people into this idea of fitness and keeping in shape, which is something you can tell me about when it comes to young people. I'm not too sure because I'm not really in that space all the time. I keep myself fit, but I'm not really paying attention to anybody else around me when it comes to that. But do you feel that there is a shortage of young people actively making a difference to their bodies and their health?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The inspiration, like Weza said, was behind us trying to get fit, right? So I went through a period where I was thinking about how many people in Hatfield are actually keeping healthy, hence the fun run. But then when Weza gave me advice saying, listen, the best way you can go about this is by using what you're good at, which is dance and fitness. Mm. So when I thought about the idea of combining the two, I definitely had the thought that it would be a winner, because there's a huge gap in Hatfield and actually South Africa as a whole, whereby people want to keep fit, but them actually taking the initiative to make it a lifestyle is a different story. Mm. So we use dance as a workout because everybody dances.
Sure. Mm.
We use fitness as a workout because there are people who use fitness to work out as well. But what separates us is because we don't use gym equipment. We just use ourselves. Yeah. So you bring yourself and you have fun. You dance your way to a better body. You do fitness and get yourself to a better body as well. So
what does it cost? Where is it? Like,
it's
how do
free.
I get involved?
We usually have our weekly boot camps in Hatfield, Urban Soccer, 470 Grosvenor Street.
Mm-hmm.
So it's free. Anybody's welcome. Just bring yourself.
Oh, okay. So it's not even a business. It's not even a business this yet. Or
look,
is it working towards that? Are we building something here, or are we just really making an impact in the community? Or what is the long-term goal here?
Well, definitely, I'd say both.
Okay.
The reason why we're making it free is because we want to reach out to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody who has a thought.
It's about the people.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Everyone has a thought of getting fit.
Mm.
So we're trying to attract every single body.
Nice.
Every age, every sex.
Teach them what you're about.
Exactly. Mm. So what we're having this week is our first main event, which is called Sweat Till You Glow. So this event, unlike our weekly boot camps, is going to be $100 for a ticket. So how we're doing this different is that we're actually going to have glow accessories, glow paint,
nice,
and some glow accessories. So we'll be sweating while we're glowing.
Oh, awesome.
So this boot camp is going to be in the evening, unlike our weekly boot camps, which take place in the mornings.
Sure.
So with this initiative, we're trying to basically get the attention of your Caspers, your AKAs, basically artists that people look up to.
Mm.
And we're trying to get them involved to say, listen, influence the community to get fit. For those who are trying to get in shape or for those who are trying to keep in shape.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Awesome. Actually, just we almost out of time. You're still here with a lovely young lady. She's also a choreographer, right? Let's step up into the mic. Say hello.
Wow, greetings to all.
Yeah, yeah. So you're also part of Mufu Fitness.
Definitely.
Yeah, so tell us what you do.
Well, I'm a dance instructor and a fitness instructor.
Cool.
So I'm definitely like the energy bunny there. So I just try and keep everybody hyped and on their toes.
Cool stuff. Well, you'll see Miss Energy Bunny and Donald right there at Mufu Fitness. This is on Saturday. Just tell us all the last details this week as we wrap up.
Okay, so Saturday, 6:30 for 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. So we have our first hour for our dance camp, and then our second hour is for our fitness camp. So be there at 6:30, guys, and have
cool stuff. So you said we can get that online as well. How do we get our tickets? How do we get in?
We have a link on our Instagram page and our Twitter page, and our Facebook page. So you can just go to MufuFitness_SA. We have our link there on our bio, and then you guys can just RSVP. Alternatively, they can get the tickets on Saturday as well.
Cool stuff. Yeah, we're glowing, Baba. We're sweating till we glow.
Sweating till we glow.
Just like Kanye West and Drake.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it makes sense. And I was about to say, like, you know, when I was playing football, you know, I had a couple of teammates that didn't need the glow paint, because when we sweated, bro, trust me, we were shining. You know what I'm saying? So get out there, guys, this weekend. Make sure that you keep yourself fit. Make sure that you keep yourself healthy. We've had a really good show, Wes. I think jam-packed, full of interesting content and some cool competitions.
Definitely. I want to enter some of those things myself. I'll be out in Silicon Valley. I'm leaving the country, guys. I'm sorry. I'm gone.
I'm out. I'm going to send your voice recordings over WhatsApp. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. We know it's the shortest hour of the week. We are literally pushing for time. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. We appreciate all the guests that came through. We chatted innovation, we chatted wealth creation and motivation, and then a little bit of fitness and lifestyle, which is very important for young people these days. Where's there any final thoughts before we wrap up, bro?
Well, final thoughts is really just I'm reading the Trevor Noah book, or I'm listening to the audiobook at the moment. He says that, you know what, rejection and even success, those are answers, but regret is a eternal question. You'll never know. What if? So go for things, man. It's better to have an answer than to always sit back and think, what if?
And Trevor Noah has definitely done that. I think us young people can look up to guys like him and Black Coffee and these guys who have really made unplugged careers out of a very ordinary society. Let's make it happen. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. You know what it is. CliffCentral.com.